Would you pray with me? Lord, as we hear your word proclaimed, may you inflame our hearts by your Holy Spirit to raise us up to praise our risen Savior. Amen. You may be seated. It just so happens that as my time at Holy Cross is coming to an end, I have been studying Revelation. Not on purpose, it just happened. And during the Easter season this year, we have lessons from Revelation. And I felt a strong desire to preach from these passages today and then on my last Sunday on the 18th. And then Pastor Justin reminded me that today I'm preaching at 11:15 a kid-friendly sermon for our special family service. So, well, guess what? I'm still preaching on Revelation. I know it might sound a little bit crazy. For many people, Revelation is frightening and confusing. For others, all they want to focus on is Revelation, when they really should be going back to read the Old Testament. But whether you are 7 or 70, you need to hear the message of Revelation. Revelation comforts suffering Christians by revealing the risen Jesus reigning in heaven as the true King over the whole world. No matter what we face today, Jesus is in control. He is guiding all things until heaven and earth meet. It's not a secret for us to decode because it is a revelation about Jesus, testifying of his victory now and forevermore. And here's the big idea for our passage today in Revelation chapter 5. True worship in the church reflects the pattern of heavenly worship. And what is that pattern? Proclaiming Jesus alone as Savior and King, and raising our hearts around the heavenly throne room to praise our risen Lord. So the pattern of heavenly worship is proclaiming Jesus alone as Savior and King, and raising our hearts around the heavenly throne room to praise our risen Lord. Now, here's a church architecture lesson, a 9 a.m. service special. The children in the next service get a handout with Easter eggs and a picture puzzle. You're welcome to come back at 11:15 for the kid-friendly version. But I saved this part especially for you. The area where I'm standing is called the chancel. Many of us, especially from evangelical and Baptist backgrounds, just call this whole room a sanctuary. And that's because we only know two words, sanctuary and fellowship hall. But in Anglican architecture, the sanctuary refers to the area around the Lord's table where the Eucharist is celebrated. The chancel, this area up here, is designed to visually represent heaven. There is an overflow of imagery here to help draw your hearts and imagination upward. Even the white robes the clergy wear on Sundays, it's not about formality, but to represent the church triumphant gathered in the heavenly throne room to worship Jesus. Of course, your clergy here can be a bit more frozen than the Pentecostal worship happening in heaven right now. But this space where we proclaim God's word and celebrate at the Lord's table is where heaven and earth meet. Revelation 5 gives us a glimpse of what is truly happening when we gather for worship to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus each Sunday. This passage helps us recover the imagination of faith and see what our eyes cannot, that the boundary between heaven and earth are removed as our hearts are raised up in the heavenly places. To recognize that when we praise Jesus, we are joining the heavenly voices. That when we gather together, we are in the presence of our risen Lord, the Lion of Judah and the Lamb who was slain. But how do we get there? How do we, with our sin and rebellion, get access to that holy throne room? Has there ever been a place that was off limits to you? A place where you weren't allowed? Maybe there's a place where you've never felt good enough or cool enough to be. For me, at least, when I was a kid, it was the grown-ups table. And I think this illustration is really going to land in the next service. I loved Thanksgiving and Christmas at my grandparents' house. But the big table in the dining room was for grown-ups only. My mom and dad, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, only they were allowed to sit at this table. I don't know if I ever got to sit at that table for any under any circumstance. And I was so far away in the living room, like about right there, sitting with my sisters and cousins at folding tables. I always wondered, what's going on at the grown-ups table? What are they talking about over there? Is the food better? I couldn't wait to see what it was like when I got to move all the way up to the grown-ups table, because even though I could see it, that table felt like it was an infinity away. So in our lesson from Revelation chapter 5, Jesus gives John a vision of heaven. He gets to see what it's like, but it makes John feel like heaven is an infinite distance from where he's supposed to be. There's no way he belongs there or will ever be good enough. Now, heaven is not in a galaxy far, far away. May the fourth be with you. We're not far from God because of geography, but because of our sin. We make mistakes, and not one of us is perfect. Even if we could see heaven like John did, we're not strong enough or worthy enough to enter it by ourselves. And look at our reading today in Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 4. When John sees that no one is good enough to open the promises of God's salvation, it makes him weep. John feels the consequences of human sin, the weight of the rebellion we see in the very first pages of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. Adam, the first human, forfeited our inheritance to rule with God. And no human, not Abraham, Moses, or David, has ever been worthy enough to inherit God's promises on their own merit. We can't save ourselves. But then John sees Jesus. In Revelation chapter 5, we learn that Jesus is the bridge between us and God, between earth and heaven. You may wonder why, of all people, John gets to see this vision of heaven. Because he knows and loves Jesus. And Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And there was no way for us to get back to God. Jesus became the way, spanning the infinite gap that separates us from our Creator. Like a bridge, Jesus connects us to God and makes it possible for us today to raise our hearts in the heavenly places with him. How does Revelation show us that Jesus makes this way? Read along with me in verse 5. Look what it says. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. Jesus is the Lion who delivers the victory. But here's the great paradox of the gospel message reflected in Revelation's own special way. Jesus is the Lion who conquered death by becoming a sacrificial lamb, not by exerting power, not by magnifying himself, but by giving himself up in love. When John turns to look at the lion, he says instead in verse 6, "I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. The Lion of Judah became the Passover lamb." Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead on the third day. And because Jesus is alive, he set us free from death and opened the way for us to be with God in heaven. Jesus is both the lion and the lamb. In verse 7, Jesus is able to open the scroll. Now, wait a minute. What is the scroll? Well, it is scripture. Consider how in Luke chapter 4, Jesus opened the scroll to read from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. And then he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And here in Revelation chapter 5, Jesus alone is worthy to open the scroll of salvation itself, to show us that all of God's promises in the Bible, they lead us to Jesus. The point is the same in both Luke 4 and Revelation 5. The whole Bible, beginning to end, points us to Jesus. He is the center and fulfillment. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. But in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the first humans, Adam and Eve, are called to rule the earth as kings and priests of God. But they fail and lose that inheritance for us. And then later, in Genesis chapter 49, we hear about the promised Lion of Judah, who is going to recover that inheritance and be a king and savior for God's people. And in the second book of the Bible, Exodus, the blood of the Passover lamb saves God's people from death and darkness in Egypt. So when Jesus died on the cross as our Passover lamb, his death gives us new life. By his blood, we are now called to be kings and priests. Each Sunday, we read Bible passages from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament letters, and we end always with the Gospels. The Bible shows us our great need for God, and Jesus is the only answer. And that's why the Gospel reading is the high point in our lessons. It's why each time we stand and celebrate when we read the Gospels, because our worship reflects heaven when Jesus unrolls the scroll in our midst. Through Jesus, we see the fullness of God's saving plan in history and understand the whole Bible is centered around him. I love the Jesus Storybook Bible. It was part of our Christmas mission campaign. Recently, we had a generous donation so that every child in our church who doesn't have a copy can have a copy. One of my favorite memories is reading it to Augie when he was a newborn. And on the cover, it says, "Every story whispers his name." Jesus is the last Adam who recovers the kingdom for us to share in God's rule. Jesus is the Lion of Judah and the Passover Lamb. It's all about Jesus. True worship reflects the heavenly pattern when it proclaims Jesus alone as our salvation, the King who conquered by laying down his life. And Jesus rules by giving of himself. While Jesus alone is worthy to be our King, he shares with us his crown of glory. So that inheritance from Genesis 1, to rule with God as kings and priests. Look what Revelation 5, verse 10 tells us. Jesus ransomed the people of God and made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Jesus doesn't just rescue us from our sin. He restores our calling to reign with him in glory. You are not invisible, and you're not ordinary. You are special. Jesus gives you a crown to rule with him. Because Jesus is the Lion of Judah, nothing in your life is too big for him to handle. Jesus wins all the time, for all time, and at the end of time. He rose from the dead, and he rules as king from heaven. Nothing can separate us from Christ. And because Jesus is the Lamb who became small like us and died for us, nothing in your life is too small for Jesus. Because he is the king who shares his crown with you, everything in your life matters to Jesus. His invitation to you to participate in his kingdom reveals the purpose, meaning, and destiny of your life. Pastor Eugene Peterson said that Revelation describes a heaven-penetrated, hell-threatened environment for the church. And we can see that the world around us is broken. We can see a hell-threatened environment. But often we come to church with mediocre worship and lukewarm hearts because the enemy wants to keep our focus away from the risen Christ. But with the vision of Jesus we have in Revelation chapter 5, we can see with a different set of eyes. Our faith is filled with the glorious splendor of the kingdom in the midst of our daily lives. So what happens when we worship? Because Jesus is the bridge, heaven comes near to us. When we worship, when we sing, when we pray, when we listen to God's word, when we come to the Lord's table for communion, our hearts are lifted up where Jesus is. Jesus loves you and he is with you. Worship is not about your performance because Jesus alone is worthy. Instead, Jesus invites you to give him your heart. It's really the only thing you can give him. And if you've never given Jesus your heart in faith or worship, come see one of us today in the back in the chapel during communion or after the service. Today, Jesus invites you to give him your heart in worship and receive the gift of his presence. So in a moment, when Father Justin says, lift up your hearts, you can say, we lift them to the Lord, and really mean it. Worship that not only reflects the pattern of heaven, but enters the throne room of God. Because Jesus is worthy, and he made a way just for you. Amen.